Welcome to the show. My guest today is Dr. Paul R. Lawrence. Dr. Lawrence's career and expertise make him an ideal guest to bring back to our show. He provides invaluable insights on veterans' benefits and services, his dedication to helping veterans secure their rightful benefits and transition to civilian life is not only inspiring, but also deeply impactful. We believe that featuring Dr. Lawrence on our show again will not only provide our audience with essential information, but also empower them to navigate their post-military lives more confidently. Paul, thank you for joining us again today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jeff, and it's especially great to talk about veterans' benefits.
Yes, sir. Many of our clients are veterans, and they get a lot of useful information out of your interview. Just to start off, you know, talking about veterans' benefits, can you provide just a basic overview of the benefits available for veterans in terms of home ownership and education?
Right. So some of the benefits from the original GI Bill, the Serviceman's Readjustment Act of 1944, lay out essentially education benefits and home ownership benefits, right? So we often think of the GI Bill as free college because that's what it's evolved to, but it's the combination of the two. So basically, if you serve honorably for 3 years, you're entitled to essentially a free ride at the equivalent of a state university to get a college education. So very, very powerful benefit. Similarly, if you serve honorably, and this is where it's less and it kind of depends upon how you serve, if you're in the reserves or whatever, you can purchase a home with no money down. The official name is called the home loan guarantee because VA just actually guarantees your down payment. But most people talk about it as the no down payment ability to purchase a home loan. So those two things, the free education and the ability to purchase a home with no down payment, are incredibly valuable benefits of veterans in terms of the pursuit of their American dream.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, does the education benefit have a cap or number of years or?
You get the equivalent of a sort of four college years, so 36 months, okay? Mm-hmm. And while there's ways around the cap, there's something called the Yellow Ribbon Scholarship where universities kick in some more if they're too expensive and the like. But generally speaking, you do have access to higher priced schools. And we'll talk later about some strategies, which is to save your GI Bill education benefit if you want to go to medical school later, right? So it's more valuable in the later years. But there are ways right. around some of the very, there are ways to get into some and afford some of the very expensive schools.
All right, very good. And how does the ability to purchase a home with no money down impact the veteran's financial stability and long-term wealth building?
Sure, we can break this down in a couple ways. So let's think of the qualitative aspects of owning a home, right? Done well, you live in a community, you connect with that community, you're part of that, your kids could be part of a great school system, and from there you can prosper. And I think a lot of people who leave the military miss that connectivity. Part of a team, that sort of sense of belonging. So home ownership can have a lot of that and replace some of those feelings of sort of you had in the military. But then, as you know, the ability to purchase a home, this for most of us is the biggest asset you'll have in your portfolio. And again, done well, when it appreciates over time, the equity in the home is just a tremendous asset. So we know lots of stories of veterans who use the home equity to start their own business when they otherwise couldn't, use the home equity to eventually finance their kids' college education and the like. So really, it's a tremendous asset. And so it's not just, here's a great place to live, but we really need to encourage veterans to think about this as a way to build, as you point out, long-term financial wealth.
Right, right. I mean, like you stated, it is the largest asset that they have. Compounding especially with the appreciation we've seen over the last 5 years, it's a great opportunity.
Right.
There's a lot of misconceptions about purchasing a home with zero down. How can veterans overcome that?
Well, the best way to do is sort of get educated about it. Some of the things veterans hear are simply not true. So they'll often hear lenders don't want to process a VA loan. They don't understand it. That's by and large not true. VA spent a lot of time explaining and making it easy for, financial institutions and real estate agents to interact with that. They often hear you can only use it once. That's not true. You can only own one home at a time, but as you sell, you can continue to use it again and again. They often hear you have subject to a higher interest rate, and that's actually not true. Often you get about a half a percent interest rate haircut because it is so stable. And they hear it's just too hard. And so VA has spent a lot of time trying to fix that. So when they're in doubt, they can always call VA and get assistance if they're having trouble getting people to take give them access to the VA loan.
Right. Thank you. What are some of the key advantages of utilizing the VA home loans over a conventional mortgage?
Well, sure. Certainly, the first is you don't have to save for years for a down payment, right? So we just do some math, right? $500,000 home, you're a non-veteran, you got to come up with 20% down payment. That's $100,000. You'll save for a long time to accumulate $100,000. So first is just the
Right.
speed by which you can get home ownership. By virtue of the VA being involved, you don't pay private mortgage insurance, right? Another monthly payment you will not pay. PMI, that's a big deal in terms of understanding your cash flow. And then, like I said a second ago, you'll generally get a lower interest rate. So it's very advantageous, and it's a great benefit.
And that, I mean, that really is. I mean, 20% down, it's, I mean, that keeps most families out of home. So that's a huge benefit. Can you share with us maybe some success stories or examples of veterans who have benefited from purchasing homes with no money down?
Certainly. The one I hear most often is because of this, a veteran purchases a home and he or she is the first person in their family to ever own a home for exactly the reason you said nobody could afford it, right? And that changes life as a result. The example I gave you, the veteran starting businesses, that's an example. And I'll cite my personal example. When I got out of the military, after paying back my college stuff and whatever, I had no money, literally no money, but I could purchase a home. Because I was able to the VA loan. So I personally know what it means to be able to own a home when otherwise you would just be years from getting in the market. So I just think there's lots of stories about first-time home ownership.
I mean, I couldn't think of anyone who deserves it more than our veterans. So it is a great benefit. And I want to ask you as well with the education, it's changed over the years that we have spoken about earlier, but what role does the education benefits play in the GI Bill with veterans?
Well, I think
You
when you
know,
think about like, well, how do veterans build wealth, right? Part of it is by, building skills and getting a great job and continuing to enhance your skills and get a better job, right? And the income from that becomes your savings and eventually your wealth. So the education obtained through the GI Bill education benefit is really key, right? Go to college, learn some things that make you more valuable in the job market. But it's not just college. You can do things that we otherwise would have called the trades. You can go to schools that will teach you, trades. And as you know, try to call somebody to work on the air conditioning or the electricity in your house, and you realize those people are in demand and come to find out they're making six figures. So that's a pretty good deal. There are apprenticeships as well as certificates, specialized training that you can get and be proven to master, which can later help you in the marketplace. So it's really building, as they would say, your human capital. And then, taking advantage of that in the marketplace by getting, better and better jobs.
You know, it's funny you mentioned HVAC. My brother used his GI Bill to go and get trained in HVAC, and he's very successful nowadays, you know.
Right.
So.
I mean, we think about these things, truck drivers, HVAC, electricity, all these things that make our country run. I mean, we really need people to do this, and it's very common. It's not a surprise to hear about your brother's success, but it's very common for veterans and to hire other veterans, and suddenly they have a small company of all these people running through your neighborhood, and come to find out when they get ready to like exit, that's worth $3 to $5 million. That's a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I believe he has over 150 employees now, so he's
Wow,
doing quite well.
that's
Yeah.
such a great story. That's such a great story.
Right. With the, you know, most a lot of veterans by the time they decide to get out, then maybe they have a family. And to go to school after getting out, it may be a challenge, you know, for a full-time student. So are there any benefits in the veterans that may help with any of that, or how does that work?
Sort of. When you go to school under the GI Bill, the tuition and fees are paid for directly to the school. But the student veteran in this example receives what's called a monthly housing allowance. It's the equivalent of, I think, E5 monthly pay. So it depends upon the locality. So that's designed for living expenses and the like. Does it absolutely cover a small family? It depends where you live. It depends where you go to school and the like. But there's that. I know that a lot of veterans say it's not enough. But again, if you think about it, if you were a veteran after World War II, you got $50 if you were a single veteran every month to go to school, and $100 if you were married. So there wasn't, this lack of generosity sort of starts at the very beginning. But you're right, that is often a challenge, which is why many veterans, use their military benefits while they're in service to start their education.
Excellent. Yeah. Education benefits from the GI Bill, how do they contribute to a veteran's overall financial well-being and career advancement opportunities?
Yeah, it was definitely building human capital. That's certainly the one about the education benefits. Done well, I mean, it really changes, your knowledge and your skills, and therefore your job opportunities, right? So you come out, you get an undergraduate degree. If you decide you already have an undergraduate, you can get a master's degree, and even people go to medical school with this. So they really move their position by virtue of education. We just talked about the trades, right? So learning about that. And even some of the advanced things going on. I mean, you can get certificates now in cybersecurity, which is such a hot field, right? Those folks are, commanding really steep prices. So again, I think it's really understanding what the value of that education will give you on the other side and working towards an outcome. The veterans who do that do well. The ones who don't go through those 36 months pretty quickly and realize they leave incomplete. So that's sort of what they need to avoid.
Okay. Yeah, really plan and make the best use of their time then,
Absolutely. It 36
right?
that you think 36 months. Well, if it takes you two college years to figure it out, you often come up short and either don't get your degree or end up going into debt as you take on regular conventional student loans to finish.
And you're not going to be able to complete that in 36 months at 12 hours a
Yeah.
semester either. So you're
Yeah.
going to have to take full load.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any lesser known aspects or nuances of the GI Bill or the education benefits that veterans should be aware of, benefits that aren't as common?
Well, yeah, I think it's a sense of, we naturally think about it as going to college, right? But over time, there's other things. We just talked about the trades, for example. There's apprenticeships. You will be financed using that. So you can go electrician and similar to the trades, as well as these certificates. More and more certificates and accreditation is becoming important. So a veteran who is in the job market, for example, at promotion time, having a certificate that says, hey, I am certified as a project manager, a process improvement person, or logistics or something like that can really help at promotion time and in their company. So you don't have to go back to college. There's ways to enhance your education and your skills using the GI Bill that are not full-time 4 years and the like.
All right, great. Yeah, Paul, what resources or support services are available for veterans to help them navigate the process of utilizing their GI Education Bill
Yeah,
benefits?
that's where the answer isn't really great. Okay. So it's a lot of self-service stuff. If you go to the VA website, va.gov, they have a comparison tool where you can compare the schools you're interested in, see what the monthly housing allowance is, see the number of veterans and the like. So you sort of have that information. Schools often have, if they have a big enough veteran presence, a veteran office, right? It's a veteran and military office where you can get help and assistance there. But a lot of that depends upon the size of the school, right? Many of the large schools have a couple thousand veterans. They have an office. They really understand that. VA also has a program, but it's going to specialize. So people interested in this will have to do some research. It's called PCPG, Personalized Career Planning and Guidance. And so there are counselors who can help people. But I think this is a really important point, Jeff, because we just said a second ago, if you don't have a plan in place, you can blow through those 36 months real quick. So often what happens is, sadly, veterans leave, their enlistment's over, they leave, and they go, what am I going to do? I don't know. I'm going to go to college because I got a monthly housing allowance. At least I'll have a place to live and I can afford, I get expenses covered. Then they wake up and say, hey, I'm 18 months into this and I still don't know what I'm going to major in. I don't quite know what I'm done, but this GI Bill has now only got a couple years left and I will fall short of what I want to do. So really the planning before is so key.
Right. And the credit hours, I mean, they run from for a state university typically $200 to $300 per credit hour, right? So, you got to have 120 hours. That's a pretty good chunk of change.
Well, and also you bring up a good point. To get the monthly housing allowance I talk about, you have to be a full-time student. If you don't take 12 credit hours, say you only take nine, you're now three quarters time, they'll multiply the housing allowance by three quarters. So you really have some cash flow issues too, right? And so the monthly
Right.
housing allowance, $1,000 a month, you drop a class. Now you're only going to get 750. So there is sort of some consequences of that. So the ability to plan, not only getting the credit hours, as you say, but also making sure the monthly housing allowance kind of is sufficient to take care of what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Well, could you discuss any challenges or barriers that veterans may encounter when assessing their education benefits and how they can overcome them?
Well, I think that there's a lot out there. I think there's someone once said there's like 4,000 possible schools you can go to. So there's a lot out there. So I think many people are overwhelmed by the choices. Again, beginning before you figured it out. But unfortunately, what happens is sometimes the schools close while the veterans are in the process of getting their education. I don't mean the ones we all know with the big state schools and the whatever, but often the niche schools close, the for-profit schools, and even some not-for-profit schools close. There's a new benefit that they could be eligible for. It's called restoration of benefits, which is if you're in a school and it closes, you can have your GI Bill sort of recharged, started over. It isn't true everywhere all the time, but this is something people understand because we know that happens. So I do think that's one of the safeguards.
That is a good option. You read about schools, like you said, that some of the private schools are having a hard time making it with the online presence. So that would protect them in that aspect. How could veterans stay informed and make the most out of the opportunities available to them in terms of home ownership and education benefits?
Well, the best way to stay informed is probably to follow the information coming from VA through at the website, va.gov. Changes to the GI Bill, the education benefit, and the home loan benefit don't happen fast. So there's an easy wind up to see. They are very good about announcing changes so people can understand them and the like. So I would say pay attention to, the VA website, the materials VA sends, and also get on their mailing lists. I know that especially students change their addresses all the time. So make sure they have the right emails at the VA. I know even then, VA is moving towards texting. So make sure they have the right information. And of course, you can always call VA. They have a solid people who handle education questions and a group of experts that handle the home loan questions. So there's always an avenue to call and ask. They can't do things for you for the most part, but they can tell you a lot of information and can help you almost to the point where they can.
Wonderful. With the VA home loan, is there a difference in the processing times? Say if a person applied for one versus a conventional loan, does one take longer than the other, or are they equal now?
They should be equal. I mean, there's local nuances because everything is done, it's a decentralized process, but there's no systemic reason why it shouldn't be faster and really, or as the same speed. But really, the only interaction a veteran has with the VA, with the home loan, is getting their certificate of eligibility. It demonstrates that you're a veteran and you are eligible for it. Once you give that over to the people who process your mortgage, it's virtually the same process as if they are doing a conventional. This piece of paper shows I'm a veteran. You now can go into this thing. It could be slower because maybe they don't do as many VA loans as they do conventional or like, but there's no systemic reason why it should be slower or faster. It should be about the same.
Okay. Does the VA loan have a different approval criteria than a conventional loan, is such as credit score,
Yeah,
things of that
no,
nature?
what's probably a misnomer, and I'm glad you asked this question, is a VA loan is not really the right word. All VA does is guarantee the down payment. So when you go to get the loan, you're going to a financial institution to apply for a mortgage. So you're going into their criteria, right? So it'll be exactly what the financial institution has for its mortgages. Generally, though, tell people obviously your credit score matters. Kind of a rule of thumb was 600, but obviously if you have less under certain circumstances, you can demonstrate you're good at paying and the like. But one thing they do pay attention to is what's called debt to income, right? The ratio of your debt over your income, DTI. They do pay attention to that. And generally, a good rule is that should not exceed 41%. Right, you can do the math to make sure that you can demonstrate to pay. But again, you get these mortgages from a financial institution. Always encourage veterans, like everybody else, to shop around. But it is the local criteria. VA doesn't have one because they don't really issue mortgages. They're just guaranteeing the down payment.
All right. We had mentioned earlier about building wealth and the advantages of a VA loan. Let's say a veteran has his home for 5 to 10 years and he wishes to move to a larger home or what have you. Can he refinance his existing home so that he can rent it out and still use the VA for the next loan?
That's right. That's exactly right. There, under certain circumstances, you can move and rent your house and then purchase another home. You can also refi. So, for example, if someone buys a home now, I forget what the mortgage rates are. I think they're 7-8%. 4 or 5 years, fingers crossed, it drops down. You can do, VA will help you refi, cash out refi. You can get some of the cash and take it with you. So, there's lots of things, there's lots of flexibilities in the VA's financial instruments. So, you probably will not be limited by what you want to do by VA. Now you might say, "Hey, I want to do different things," and you might find more attractive stuff in the commercial market, but you will not be limited by what you can do at VA.
That's great. All right. Well, Paul, lastly, what message or advice would you like to share with our veterans, regarding the maximizing their financial opportunities and achieving long-term wealth?
Well, I guess I'd like veterans to really appreciate sort of the thinking behind what it is to be a veteran and kind of take a step back, right? Which is you go off and you serve in the military. Again, everybody's a volunteer now. It's very unlikely we'll see people who are drafted, except for very elderly folks, right? You make a commitment to go do that. You're paid well, great experiences, leadership opportunities. And when you come out, there's a set of benefits the American people through Congress have made available. And I think when you think about these benefits are designed to help you accelerate your pursuit of the American dream, right? The free college we talked about means no college debt when you've got done, when get out, if you've done this right, right? The ability to purchase a home with no money down means you can own a home before your civilian counterpart. So really, really, these benefits are designed to help you not just kind of, get by when you get out, but really help you thrive and build wealth, enhance your situation and the like. So I would really appreciate that and access them, not take advantage of them, access them, because these are earned benefits. They're not entitlements. So I'd encourage every veteran, scrub these benefits hard. There's something in there for you, most likely, and really do, enjoy them.
Well, Paul, I just want to say how great it's been having you back today. And I want to thank you for being with us and sharing your experience and insight.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be with you.
If you want to learn more about Dr. Paul Lawrence's work, you can pick up his book, Veterans Benefits and You, on Amazon, or you can find him on LinkedIn. You've been listening to Navigating Freedom and Federal Retirement. We'll see you again next week for another episode.
This concludes another episode of Navigating Freedom in Federal Retirement podcast. As federal employees, your retirement journey is unique, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. With host Jeff Gill and our lineup of experts, we aim to bring clarity to your path ahead. If you found value in today's conversation, please share it with a fellow federal employee. Remember to subscribe for continued insights. Until next time, here's to your informed and bright retirement future.